we are in, what is this, Christ, yeah, Christ, or no, Councils for the Church. I always say Christ Councils for the Church, but Councils for the Church. Well, he's the one counseling it. And this one here is page 198, paragraph 3, and its subheading or mini paragraph heading is titled The Importance of Character Development. And if you want to read along on the radio, well, in here, all you do is you click where it says Sabbath Eve. But if on the radio, you go to remnantgod.org/SOP-CCH.htm. And then on the top, you'll see a yellow thing. So you click here for current, and it'll bring you right down where we're at, page 198, paragraph 3. All right. Or email me, and then next week I'll give you the link, and then every time you listen on the radio, you'll have the link. So, all right, so she says, God has given parents their work to form the characters of their children after the divine pattern. By his grace, they can accomplish the task, but it will require patient, painstaking effort, no less than firmness and decision. What? Yeah, no less. Wait a second. Okay, you know, no less than firmness and decision to guide the will and restrain the passions. A field left to itself produces only thorns and briars. She uses nature in the same way the Lord uses it in regards to truth. I mean, think about that. A field left to itself produces only thorns and briars. Case in point, go look in my backyard next to my greenhouse. Fran and I are so busy, we'll start a garden. Literally, every year we'll start a garden, and then all of a sudden it's just weeds. It just takes over because we can't keep up with it. We're, you know, I'm way too busy. And, you know, she's a little globetrotter to some extent, so she's really busy too. And then she does, you know, all the stuff that I'm too lazy to do, and she helps with the ministry, of course, too. So we're just busy, and we can never get around it. And but so you get the thorns and briars, and so just like with a child, if the child is left to himself, they're going to, I mean, come on, we all heard the term growing up, idle hands are the devil's play shop. You know, if I had a video camera of my life, which many of us will have an opportunity to look through when we get home, if we make it home, we go through the books and we're going to see that every moment was recorded. And how we're going to view that doesn't matter to me. I just know what's going to happen, be it in books or on panoramic view. I don't care. I just know it's going to work. And you're going to notice some of us, myself included, a lot of idle time. A lot of idle time. And but she goes on to say that he who would secure a harvest for usefulness or beauty must first prepare the soil and sow the seed, then dig about the young shoots, removing the weeds and softening the earth. And the precious plants will flourish and richly repay his care and labor. Amazing, isn't it? Same thing happened when you're raising up a child. You know, train up a child the way he should go. When he gets old, he will not depart from it. So, and then she says, character building is the most important work ever entrusted to human beings. And never before was a diligent study so important as now. Never was any previous generation called to meet issues so momentous. Never before were young men and young women confronted by perils so great as confront them today. Thinking, yeah, because how many times have you heard me say, you know, we could have been born 1,000 years ago, all of us. Yeah, we could have been born 105 years ago. Well, we could probably still be alive if we were. Okay, let's say 155 years ago. We could have been born then. We could have been born in Ellen White's day. And we wouldn't be here then. Granted, she thought it was the end then, just like most of us think it is now. And but now we have a little bit more of an idea of where the season that we're in because of, I mean, we don't know the day or the hour like some people are finding out the hard way today, September 23rd. But we do know what's going to happen next, and we do know the season, especially if you study prophecy and the urgency that the Holy Spirit puts upon the heart of the bride. And it's no mistake some of us are literally going and putting our faces to the spiritual grindstone and trying our best to clean up our walks. But again, you could have been born 1,000 years ago. All of us could have been. But no, he had you, you know, alive now. When it's, you're going to be called to meet issues of so momentous that were never before noticed by young men and women. And that's, when you think about it, because she's hitting it dead on here, even though she didn't realize, I would think to some extent, how the school system would be. I mean, some of the things that they're doing in the schools now and they're allowing in the schools, like that video I did on Wednesday, I think it was, or Tuesday, about 40% of young adults, of the American people, and the majority of them are young adults, prefer socialism over capitalism. You know, our normal society. They want socialism. Because they're so dumbed down that they don't realize that's a stepping stone to communism. Socialism just gives power to the rich, and that's it. And they don't realize it. Because they're being taught it means something else. It's like I was saying in the video today. You ask a teenager today about the Constitution. He doesn't know what you're talking about. But if you asked a teenager back in my day, especially after I just graduated from eighth grade, I'd know something about it because I couldn't even get out of eighth grade. And I wasn't one to do schoolwork, you know. I've never been ashamed to say that either. I didn't like it. I thought it was useless. I thought I can learn a lot better if you just leave me alone. And but you had to do it, right? And so when I found out, what, a month or two before graduation, before I could even get to high school, that if I didn't pass the Constitution test, I wasn't getting there, and I thought, first of all, I don't know the first thing about this. Second of all, I've never really taken a test, you know, because I always avoid them. And third, I want to go to high school. I don't want to be hanging around and, you know, I don't want to be held back because that's embarrassing, right? But now they don't even, they don't do it. I mean, some schools probably do talk about the Constitution, but it's on a liberal end of things where how they got to get rid of it. But it's the same thing when it comes to the churches. Most of the kids out there don't even know what time it is spiritually, religiously, prophetically. And it's all because of what they're not being taught. Well, same thing applies in a household where the parents are not believers. If they're not being taught, the kids are going to come up without any authority whatsoever in the, when they're in their adult life if their parents didn't give any authority at all in their child life. That's why I got a buddy in prison for life. Guy that I hung with when I was a kid. He had absolutely no authority in the house. His parents couldn't say thing one about anything he had to say or do or whatever. Did whatever he wanted to. He's the one that taught me how to shoplift. And now he's in prison for life. He has absolutely no authority in the house. Because when he stepped out into real life, no one ever told me what to do when I was a kid. They're not going to tell me now. She goes on to say that strength of character consists of two things. Power of will and power of self-control. Many youth mistake strong, uncontrolled passion for strength of character. Somebody find that verse in the Bible about how the strong city. You know, just look up strong city. So she says, many youth mistake strong, uncontrolled passion for strength of character. But the truth is that he who is mastered by his passions is a weak man. The real, let me look up that verse real quick. Where's my Bible software? And that's another thing too, redoing everything. And when you start moving chips around on your motherboard, your desktop changes. It, because I use a multi-platform Windows bar. I got a Windows bar on every monitor instead of just the one. And now it's all jumbled up. It doesn't have my icons on it. Okay. I think it's in Proverbs. No, it might not be. No, I thought it was Proverbs 18, yeah. Oh, 18:11 maybe. No, that's a rich man's wealth. There's another good one in there, too. A brother offended is harder to be won in a strong city. That's verse 19, same chapter. But an unbridled tongue, I think it had something to do with that as well. It showed a man that can control his passions was better than a strong city. And that's what she's getting at here, about how in today's youth, and this is the way it is, especially when I was growing up, you know, the more blows you could land on a guy's head made you the man. You know? What about turning around and walking away? Because I learned that later in life. You turn around and walk away. There's a man. Or the guys that grew up, especially in my neck of the woods, as many girls as you got, you were the man. Well, anybody can love a lot of women. Try loving one for a lifetime. There's a man. Yeah, there it is. Thank you. Thanks, Sean. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city. All right, so I got the strong city mixed up with the other one. So, yeah, but the city was in there. But thank you. That's the one. But today, like she says here, the truth is they think an uncontrolled passion is strength of character. It's the exact opposite. You know, it's just like we've been saying around this house for the longest time, and especially in our church family. In today's world, whatever's evil is good, and whatever's good is evil. It's a complete flip-flop. You know? I mean, just in the slang alone, like, man, it's bad. Well, that to my book, that wouldn't make it good, would it? Oh, that's the bomb. Oh, okay, yeah, something just blows up, and that, you know. And I know those are older terms, but look at cool. I remember when cool came out. Well, I don't remember, but I remember when I first time I heard of it. And as a little kid, I jumped in a pile of snow, and I was covered in it, and I go, look, I'm cool. You know? But I knew what it meant, but I was making a joke. But that's the way it was in the high schools. If you weren't cool, you just weren't cool. You know, like it's ridiculous with the slang in that thing. I mean, well, especially in today's world, the way it's MacGyvered and changed and turned around, like the word gay used to mean happy and giddy. Now it means homosexual. So, what's that? Isaiah 5:20? Let me see that one there, too. The only book in the Bible with the letter I in the front of it, or like Titus with the letter T. Oops. Isaiah 5:20. Oh, leave it to Sean. Well, that's the one. Wanted them to call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's today's world in a nutshell. I mean, it's just ridiculous how it is. I mean, absolutely everything is flip-flopped. You know, because even when I was growing up, I saw the change happen right before my eyes. I remember this, and I share this many times in here, especially when we were talking about dress reform and how nobody seems to think it's a big deal. Well, look at Audrey Hepburn back in the 60s, the first time you ever saw a woman on camera wearing pants. That was a big problem. Okay, now think about it. When that big problem arrived, 1960s, right? Yeah, we're already, 90 years into the last days? Maybe more than that, I would think. Well, 1844, you do the math. I'm, 120 years, I guess. 120 years. And some people seem to think, it's no big deal. It's been like that my whole life. Yeah, what are you, 12 or 18 or 30? Does it matter? What about what before you were born? Why has everybody got to base everything on their own generation? Well, that's the way the world is designed. That's the way Satan has to keep it designed. He doesn't want you to look in the past. But when she came out there in those pants, I remember seeing this in my own neighborhood. All the ladies, including my mom, that every time you saw them, they were wearing long flowing dresses. All of a sudden, they were wearing pants. And this is the Midwest. I'm not living in California. You got to know they were probably wearing them already out there. The pants. Well, the second they saw her on film, they did it. And it became normal. It was okay. It's just like, and that was the baby steps towards the end result being homosexuality. And I know that's a weird thing. You're going to go way off left field and say, yeah, you compared it to homosexuality. Well, you can do that with just about anything if you think about it, because you got to start somewhere. I mean, you wouldn't have a guy like Marilyn Manson singing on stage to the young girls in the 1950s. They would run him out of town on a rail. You get a cute-looking guy that loves his mommy that sings hymns every now and then named Elvis. You work it in. And so you got to start somewhere. And so when you normalize the pants, you go normalize something else. You know, and everything, it was just becoming, no big deal. It was just Oh, yeah, that's what I was getting at. It was the prude thing. It was like back in the 50s, it was considered very respectable, very proper, very good. For number one, if the girls wore a dress, alabaster skin, you know, white, no tan, and I think very little makeup and stuff like, you know, the 50s kind of look. And then all of a sudden that all just went away. It just snapped like somebody flicked a switch. And then the girls that wanted to continue on in a normal way, in a proper fashion, were considered old-fashioned or prudes or old maids, or, you know, they would literally ridicule you. It's like when I was a little kid, and the reason I got pushed around and beat up a lot, goody two-shoes, you know. I just thought it was ridiculous. You want to do what? Don't you think that's kind of wrong? She goes on. The greatness, the real greatness and nobility of the man is measured by the power of the feelings that he subdues, not by the power of the feelings that subdue him. I even need work here. We all need work here. I'm not saying I even. You know, I definitely need work there. And so I will pray for you if you all pray for me in that regard. Because I like that. I like being thought of as a strong man, which means I have to be able to subdue my feelings. And the Lord's been helping me there too, and I praise God for that. But I want more. I want to be perfected. The strongest man is he, she says, who, while sensitive to abuse, will yet restrain passion and forgive his enemies. Such men are true heroes. Wow, that's good. As a matter of fact, I'm going to email that one to myself. Let me just do it real quick here so I don't forget. There. Oh, I better put, where are we at then? I'll just put CCH. I'll dig it up later. All right. She goes on. Many have such meager ideas of what they may become that they will ever remain dwarfed and narrow, when, if they would improve the powers which God has given them, they might develop a noble character and exert an influence that would win souls to Christ. Knowledge is power, but intellectual ability without goodness of heart is a power for evil. God has given us our intellectual and moral powers, but to a great extent, every person is the architect of his own character. Every day, the structure is going up. The Word of God warns us to take heed how we build, to see that our building is founded upon the eternal rock. Remember, he says, take heed lest ye fall. Because if you don't make the building proper, it's just going to topple over. She says, the time is coming when our work will stand revealed just as it is. Now is the time for all to cultivate the powers which God has given them, that they may form characters for usefulness here and for a higher life hereafter. Every act of life, however unimportant, has its influence in forming the character. A good character is more precious than worldly possessions, and the work of forming it is the noblest in which men can engage. Characters formed by circumstance are changeable and discordant, a mass of contraries. And a lot of people do that. As a matter of fact, Hollywood can actually foster characters. You know, like there's people that, and I couldn't believe, even when I was doing the movies and going to the movies, I thought, why would you want to watch a movie more than once? Rerun, isn't that kind of boring? You already saw it. But no, some people get into it, and they'll watch it over and over again. And praise God, many of us that used to do that no longer do it, of course. But the thing is, I've known people like this, and I can understand the kind of a mindset that, like, let's just say there's somebody in the movie that you like and the way they act, or even when you're growing up. I remember when I was a little kid, I hung with this one little kid. We were both like 8 or 9, and he had body mannerisms that I thought were cool, and so I started doing his body mannerisms and acting like him. And I caught a couple of my kids doing the same thing with their friends. And it's just part of how you build your character, and you want to emulate somebody else. And then Hollywood will do that. And there's a lot of people that are easily influenced, right? That go and watch these movies, and if they pick a character in the movie that they like, that's the character they're going to run with until all of a sudden, say, a month or a year or even a decade later, they run across another movie that has another character. Yeah, exactly, sheep or sheeple. But that actually has another character that is more attracted to their way of thinking, and that's how they will fashion their character. And so even there, it can be built up. So she says the possessors or their possessors have no high aim or purpose in life. They have no ennobling influence upon the characters of others. They are purposeless and powerless, because it's all emulation anyway. I mean, if you think about it, it's just like, and this is what gets me about, you know, especially the Hollywood actors and how everybody clamors after them. It's just so ridiculous. They're professional liars. They play a character. I remember one time when I was a kid, and this really struck me, and then from that day forward, I never looked at a Hollywood actor the same way. And I couldn't have been more than just a preteen when I saw this. But it was a movie about a guy that played a gunslinger in the movies. All right? It was a movie about a guy that played a gunslinger in the movies. And in the movie, he was attacked by a guy who was a gunslinger and wanted to put him in his place because he was play-acting. In other words, it became painfully obvious that the guy that played the gunslinger really wasn't a gunslinger. It was camera actions and not showing things that would have proven he wasn't a gunslinger and cutting and editing and all this other stuff, and it just looked... They made him look good, but he obviously... Or it's just like with some of the singers today when they use that fake... singing voice, or they alter it with the computers now, and they could do it seamlessly now, where it's not like where you hear the octave change instant like a computer does. They can actually smooth it in between octaves now. You can get up there to somebody that can't sing to save their life. I saw a YouTube video about that once, where a person gets up there and they could, I think it was that that one guy who just more or less took the place of Carl Sagan. He's a big dude. And he's very, very entertaining. He's more entertaining than Carl Sagan was. Carl Sagan was just downright annoying at times because of his evolutionist and billions of that. But this guy, I can't remember his name, but he sung a song, act like he was singing a song in a shower. And he couldn't, the guy's tone deaf. But by the time they got done with it, he sounded like he can get on stage. Even though you can still hear a little bit of the digital in there because they hadn't quite perfected it because it was an old video. So that's today's world. And so when you build a character in that respect, it's all a facade. It's fake. And that's what she's getting at here. When the characters are formed by circumstances, they're changeable and they're discordant. Because they can't hang their head on anything. It's just like a rudderless boat. It's going to go whichever way the wind blows. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just like that one person that, what I always like to, because I know people like this my whole life. We've all known them. I would call them an A.L. Williams mindset. And the A.L. Williams mindset is, when I used to sell life insurance, there was this company that was king of replacement called A.L. Williams. They will rip off every insurance agent they can get their hands on. What they do is they come into a house after an insurance agent makes a sale, selling whole life or a universal package, or even, you know, stocks, bonds, and, you know, money markets or whatever. They'll come in and sell them term insurance, which is like 10 times cheaper. But the A.L. Williams mentality was, like with this one woman, I went in there and made a sale. And all of a sudden, a week later, as I'm doing the paperwork to get her document to her, the guy, she calls and decided to go with a different company. So I go back to her house, made the sale again. She calls a week later, again, went back to the other company. I go back, sell her again. And then she calls me again and says she went back with the other. I says, forget it. I'm done. I don't like, you know, seesaws. My point is, there's very there's people out there that can, that will, you know, like the rudderless boat. They'll go with any suggestion from anyone, be it Hollywood or your next door neighbor. Their characters are literally formed by circumstance. Whatever seems best for that 24-hour period. In fact, it's not even 24 if you count the 8 hours that you're sleeping. But she finishes off here by saying, the little span of life allotted us here should be wisely improved. God would have his church a living, devoted, working church. And I praise God for this church. I got to tell you, you know, even though I would want a lot more work getting done, you know, because we're all like that, I think, you know. We all want to do more and more and more and more, you know, I would think. I think that's why the website's over 12,000 pages. I just keep going. But the thing is, I love the fact that, you know, because Fran and I, when we left the Catholic Church, it wasn't just looking for a church that preached truth. It was looking for a church that actually walked in it and evangelized it and shared it. I says, you know, I know what the Great Commission is. I used to work on Straight Commission. And so I know what the Great Commission is, and it's a big difference. I mean, there's two different words, actually. But I, you know, kind of was wondering about that, and that's why I looked it up in regards to the calling. Every Christian has a duty. And when you look at the parable of the talents, ooh, that hit me like a ton of gold bricks from the streets of heaven. Because I realized that I had a couple of talents I wasn't using, and I could have been using for the Lord. And I said, sorry, Father, I'm not going to bury any of this. I'll do what I can. And that's all you can do. And then the Lord will continue to bless you to do even more. You know, because one of the guys are going to bury it. So he's going to tell him to dig it up, hand it to him or her. So going on, she says that our people as a body are far from this now. And she's talking about the SDA people back then. And we could be talking about ourselves as well. You know, because if you think about it, when that latter rain, when it gets ready to fall, it's only going to fall on those that the Lord knows they're going to run with it. You know, and sure, there's a lot of areas in my life that I need improvement in too. And so I wonder, will I receive the latter rain? And so I want to kick it up a notch. We all have to kick it up a notch. Otherwise, he's going to figure someone else is going to do the work. If we can't run with what we have now, you know, if you can't run with the little you have now, how can you be trusted with more? That's, of course, paraphrasing what he was talking about with the talents. So finishing, she says, God calls for strong, brave souls, for active, living Christians who are following the true pattern, capital P, and who will exert a decided influence for God and the right. The Lord has committed to us as a sacred trust more important and solemn truths, and we should show their influence upon our lives and characters. And main reason being is, have you noticed? Because I've noticed it. I've noticed it in your lives, and I've noticed it in mine. People are going to come to you and ask you questions that you would think, wow, why would you ask a question like that of me? I'm not that strong a Christian. Because that's how you feel. You got to stay humble in your heart anyway, right? You don't want to get that big old spiritual bubblehead. And so they are watching us. We can be an influence for good, but we can also be an influence for evil. You don't, I mean, and for those that can't get out there and do the evangelizing and the speaking and whatnot, you don't have to. You run with the talents he gives. Some of us can do things that others, that we can't even figure out how you're doing it. And that could be something as simple as a smile when you're expecting a frown, or even a couple of swings, you know, punches. You know, because some of us are a lot stronger in other areas that, you know, those of us that are weak in those areas. So pray for each other. Iron sharpeneth iron. Walk together, two by two. And then we'll glorify Christ, just as he prophesied we would. If you can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Right, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us with your presence as we gather here tonight and study. Thank you for giving us that understanding of the Word and the truth to such a point that it is September 23rd and not a one of us has even a thought about it, other than a thought of concern for those poor souls out there that have fallen for those lies. Forgive them, Father, and forgive those that have shared the lies too. Give them an opportunity to repent, because that too is a gift. We understand that. Please bless us in the days ahead to give us many opportunities to share our faith and your truth with others. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, the blessing with the latter rain if we are so worthy, and blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. We have many that need physical healings, spiritual healings, as well as healings that bring them to a point in their walk that glorifies you like no other in the history of mankind. And yes, I am speaking of those of us that may be part of that number, that we pray to be part of the Gideon band. And so thank you, Father, for being with us again tonight and blessing us on the Sabbath day. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, your precious Son, and our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen.